the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. In today's gospel, Jesus touches the life of a man who had truly been plagued by evil forces. He arrives in the country of the Gadarenes, and he meets a man who's possessed by demons. And sometimes the man had been in chains, but he was so fearsome that he even would break the chains and go out and live in the caves and the tombs around. When he sees Jesus, as Jesus approaches, he cries out and, interestingly enough, acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God and begs him not to be tormented. Now, that's kind of an odd response for someone. But it is the demons that are controlling this man that is speaking. And Jesus commanded him to come out of this man. And they knew, these demons knew that Jesus had power over them. He had the power to send them to the torments of hell. And they were kind of hoping to avoid that by begging him to send them into the nearby swine instead. And Jesus allows this, and the demons leave the man and go into this herd of swine or pigs, and the whole herd then rushes down into the lake of Galilee, just going mad from these demons now coming upon them. Now, I can imagine that was a pretty spectacular scene. If you were a bystander right there, and particularly if your charge was to take care of these swine, and you just saw this happen. In fact, those who were in charge of this and just saw this happen, they fled and told it to those in the city. And then when they came back, they found an amazing thing. This man, who had been so fearsome for so long, was clothed. He was in his right mind, and he was sitting at the feet of Jesus. Now, there are lots of different responses that people could have had. We sometimes see the people respond and give glory to God for a great miracle. Sometimes the Pharisees get upset. And then sometimes they respond this way. They're so afraid, they ask Jesus to leave, which is pretty amazing. But they were seized by fear rather than giving glory to God for what had been done for this man. Now, this episode may raise some questions in some people's minds about, well, do demons really exist? For some do not believe in demons. Some, in fact, don't even believe that God exists. They think that the only thing that there is this physical world that's around us, things we can see and touch and feel. And they believe that's the extent of it. But there is more than just this physical world. And this physical world came into being by a creator. And to just say that this physical world is all there is almost, to me, who deals with computers a lot, it's like someone finding a computer and just thinking it just came into being all by itself. And you're just kind of amazed at this thing, but you don't give any credence that this could have been created by someone. And scientists are finding more and more about how our universe is so fine-tuned to support life here on this planet. And they're finding out more and more how amazing our life, what our life is, what's going on down inside the cells, and the little machines that we've got just going along down inside these cells that are doing amazing things. It is, in fact, that God did create this world around us, this physical world that we have. He created man in his own image, and he created us with the purpose to commune with God, to walk and talk with God. But our gospel reading reminds us there is more to see than just this world, physical world. And it's clear from this passage that Jesus dealt with real demons. This was not something imaginary. And those pigs didn't just decide to go for a nice warm swim that day in the sea. Something occurred and happened physically that was influenced by actual demons. And I'm sure, I've said this before, that people have attributed things to demons that in reality were just other things, either natural events or just natural illness. But on the other hand, you can't rule out demons in circumstances either. Now, they may not be behind every door, but they are out there. And we need to not forget that. And in this particular case, Jesus dealt with a group of them. Not just one, but a group of them that had gained control of this man. And when Jesus asked this man what was his name, his response was, he said, Legion. Now, it goes on to explain in the passage, he was called this because so many demons had entered him. And Legion was a term that was used to describe a Roman fighting unit, or that's composed of many men but acting together as a unit. And that's kind of what these demons were doing. And it's interesting, though, that Jesus asked his name. Why did he ask him his name, I wonder? You know, it was more than a simple question. He knew what the response was going to be, but it was also a reaching out to this man. He was speaking as if he identified himself with this legion of demons. But Jesus is directing this man's focus back to his real self, back to awareness of his own identity that he was about to restore to him. You know, so it is so hard to separate himself from what had overpowered him. He just responded, you know, I'm Legion. But then Jesus restores his personality back to him. He restored back to him who he was as a person. And what can we learn from this? Well, though we may not encounter demons, you know, every time we turn around every corner, we do encounter forces of evil and sin on a daily basis. And we can become feeling overwhelmed by it at times. And what we must do when we feel we may be becoming overpowered by this, by sin and the forces that just are around us, we need to remember and separate us, ourselves, from the powers that are around us. We need to have a clear distinction. We need to remember who we really are, who the person that we really are that God has created. And God has called us to Him. If we give in to one sin and then another and then another, we almost become like Legion. Our instincts and our thoughts all take on a kind of a chaotic state as we're just being pulled to and fro by sin. But God calls out to us. And when He does, remember your real self. And those temptations and powers that are out there are just that. They're not you. They're temptations and the power of sin. And to overcome the sin involves placing ourselves at the feet of Jesus like Legion did, like he was found, and be restored like he was. In the liturgy we hear, we give thanks unto thee, even though there stand beside thee thousands of archangels, 10,000s of angels, the cherubim and the seraphim. Now some may not want to acknowledge there is both a physical world and a spiritual world. And there are thousands of archangels and angels. And unfortunately, there were some that rebelled against God. And God cast them out and away. And there is the leader, the initial rebellious one, and the leader that we refer to by many names, Satan, the devil, Lucifer, whatever name you want to give. And they have been rebelling against God since that time. And there is this war that's going on. And Satan is using his legions of demons to take as many of God's people, and the people who aren't God's people, as many people as he can with him. But we're not bystanders in this battle. We have our own choices to make. Which is one reason why the church is so important to us, because it is our stronghold. And we turn to Jesus in times of our warfare to be restored to our strength of who we are. Now, in this encounter with this man who was restored, there is an epilogue, you might say. Jesus is now, he's healed the man, and he's getting into the boat, getting about to leave. And this healed man comes to him, and he asks to go with him. And Jesus told him, no, no, I want you to stay here. I want you to return to your own house. And I want you to tell the others here the great things that God has done for you today. And this man did as Jesus instructed him. And he proclaimed throughout the city what great things Jesus did for him. And I'm sure it amazed the people there even more, because here was this man, again, who had acted so wild over so many years, and now he was telling them about God. As we experience the grace of God in our own lives, let's tell others about it, like God instructed the man to go back and do into his hometown. And we can just tell, we can start here with one another. Tell one another what God has done for us in our own lives. For it's encouraging to hear from others how God has worked in their lives. You know, Christ didn't tell the man that he needed to go preach to all the nations. He just sent him back to his home. Just sent him back to where he lived. And said, just tell people what God has done for you. And as God works in our own lives, let's just tell others about it to give glory to God in the process. So our gospel today is a reminder of a couple of things. A reminder that there is more to this world than meets the eye. There is a real spiritual world that surrounds us. And we are in the midst of a battle. And let's not give in to the temptations and attacks of the enemy during this battle. And if you start to feel weary, you start to feel overwhelmed and like, how am I going to make it? Remember who you are, the person that you are, that have been called into the kingdom of God. Resist the devil, his tempters. Place yourself at Christ's feet. Rely on the power of God's grace over everything, including demons, sin, evil. Don't be overwhelmed. Come to seek God's grace. And as God bestows grace upon us, and he delivers us from things, let's tell others that we know, our friends, about the things that God has done for us. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.